Hebrews chapter 10. I don't know, Hebrews is one of those books that to me has all kinds of very valuable information because it gives us insights many, many times as to what God's will is and how the Old Testament and the promise of Jesus' coming and Jesus' coming come together. And so this morning, again, I think there is some very vital information for us that is so pertinent for us in our day, as it is in every day, but maybe even more so in these last days. So, Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 32, then down to 35. First of all, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction." And then verse 35 says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Lord, help us to utilize the weapons of warfare that we have at our disposal from your word, your principles, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in which we move, speak. You'll give us words to speak in times of trouble. That will be wisdom of God. So be with us this morning as we look at your holy word. Speak to us. We would see Jesus this morning, Father. We pray, Father, that you would work in every way, that our hearts might be drawn to you today, and that you might infill us, touch us. Lord, where we need special touch, even this morning, to do that. Be with those who are here and going to be hearing via the internet. Let these words also speak to them and encourage them. For these things we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Of course, it goes without saying that we're living in trying times, aren't we? We have the COVID-19. We have riots that are disguised as protests. Sometimes we have to deal with painful illnesses. One of the things that Glendon has to deal with is severe pain. Severe pain. Then there's the insecurity of all the things that are happening all around us. I've talked to Matthew, my son, and there have been others, in the sense, what's happening with the job situation, how you're doing here. So there's that insecurity about the jobs that we hold, the income that we receive. All kinds of things are being drastically affected by the corona flu. I think to myself, as I went to Louisville the other day, I passed several buildings that were still boarded up from the rioting that took place in Louisville not too many weeks ago. And I talked to Todd about that, and he says that one is almost a block long. It's a huge building, must be 10 floors. It's a hotel, I think. It's still boarded up. I bet they're out of business. I bet they're out of business. So all kinds of places have been drastically affected. And just like us, we were told that July the 4th, everything was going to be back to normal and we'd be cool. And then the governor comes out 15 minutes before the click of midnight on July 4th and says, "No, wait a second, hold it. We're going to have to slow things down." Well, they don't know what they're doing, but God does. And we need to recognize that. In times like these, we often get to the end of our rope, though, and we say, "I just can't take it anymore. I just, you know, don't want to." But if we're Christians, our minds tell us, trust in the Lord. That's a biblical principle that the Holy Spirit brings to our minds. But sometimes we know the principle, and we can mouth the principle. But what we're doing is just simply going through the motions. We're putting on a brave face. We're saying the right words. But we're afraid. And what we would like is some sort of immediate, unmistakable sign from God that everything is going to be okay. And basically what we mean by that is to return it to something I recognize. Which we may not want to go there, but nevertheless, that's what we're thinking. You know, the early church experienced great suffering, didn't it? There were horrible persecutions that were launched out against the church. And certainly, they must have felt fears. Certainly, there must have been uncertainties about what they were doing because their lives were being upended all the time. I think that if we could interview some of those folks that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, a few months later they might have said, well, I don't know, let's go home and think about that. But, you know, God is gracious. Our Heavenly Father knows what we're feeling. That we're teetering on the brink of maybe not fulfilling the very statements of faith that we make. Adversity, hardships. I'm going to give you a great revelation this morning. They're part of life. All the time. As Americans, we have seen an assault on our very way of life, some of the demonstrations. And I have talked to people, and people have expressed to me, you know, Pastor Mike, boy, I'm just frightened of the possibilities if some of these things go on, that there is insurrection, that some of these movements don't have anything to do with equal rights or anything else. They're just communist movements being in disguise as this. And I understand that. I see that. So we're wishing that things would return to a more normal basis in that what we think is normal. But you know, if we lived in Africa, we would not be worried about losing our way of life. Matter of fact, we might be thinking, let's do away with the old and let's do something new because it's miserable. If we lived in Africa, and I'm not saying that every African and every African country is like this, but basically the African continent, they don't have supermarkets. They don't have air conditioning. I was seeing something the other day on this advertisement, I think it was, and they had a church building, and they had chandeliers, and they had a dirt floor, and I think the guy said something about, have you ever seen that before? Well, probably not, but why does it matter? Listen, they don't have homes in that they go into a little room someplace and they go. Todd was trying to explain to one of the people last week that we were talking about his experience on a mission trip. And they just, what? What are you talking about? No, that's the way it was. Indoor plumbing is not for everywhere in the world. They don't have to worry about multiple cars in the driveway. They don't have a driveway. So they're not worried about losing their way of life because they really do not have the kind of standard of living that we have and that we cling to and think is so precious. And the storm of adversity comes to everyone. It has come to us. It has come to every nation on the face of the earth. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a wealthy nation, a poor nation. Doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white, yellow or red. No one escapes adversity. The question is not will we face adversity. The question, real question is how will we, in facing adversity, respond to it? Now that's a different question. In Hebrews 10:32, it says, but call to remembrance the former days. It's always good for us to remember what God has done in the past in our lives and where we came from. In which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And then, of course, he says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What he's saying is there, don't throw away your confidence in the Lord because he will reward. God knows about affliction. God knows about adversity. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, for we have need of patience. Anybody else got a different word there? How about perseverance? You know how you get patience? Yeah, adversity. Yeah. Oh gosh, I shared with that this morning in the Sunday school class. I'm just prone to griping all the time. My wife says, you know, some girl asked me the other day, "Are you having a great day?" I said, "Well, not really." Now, you know what her question was? My response should have been, "Sure." So I said, "No, not really." And I'm sure she went, "Oh, gosh." Listen, after we have done all that we should do in the will of the Lord, we will receive the promise. You will receive from God Almighty His promise. And what we need to remember is that we should never, never, never quit serving the Lord to the best of our ability, no matter what comes our way. Remember, God is working out His great plan, and He has a great plan of salvation, and He has a great plan for His people to reward those who are faithful in service unto Him in this life and in the life to come. Now, before I jump ahead a little bit, because I tend to do those kind of things, but I had plenty of time to work on the sermon, let me fall back on three, I'm calling them faith affirmation statements, which I believe are biblical. You check it for yourself. People who are saved, Christian people, those who are walking close to the Lord, the name came to my mind, the Corrie Ten Boom's of the world. Have you ever read Corrie Ten Boom's book? Have you ever read her Praising God for the Fleas? You need to read that. Listen, there's a woman of faith. Towering giant. Did she experience any adversity? Oh my goodness. Crushing load. And here's one particular thing that I do not like. God wants to transform your life, my life, through the anvil of adversity. Why didn't he just give me a new Mercedes and I'll thank him? Why didn't he just, you know, have the mortgage people call up and say, "Hey, guess what? We've made a mistake. Your mortgage has been paid off for 20 years and we owe you $20,000. I would praise him. I think that would be cool. But God has this plan of working through adversity to change our lives and make us who he wants us to be. So there's one very important, but I'd rather miss that part. But take heart. The hardships are only temporary. 1 Peter chapter 5, 10 says, "But God, of all grace, has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while." I always, you know, we always talk about Peter sticking his foot in his mouth and doing all those kind of things, right? I think there was some kind of disease that went on with these guys. Peter says, "Listen, listen, listen. The God of all grace is going to shower his mercy through Jesus Christ to us after we suffer for just a little while." Is he insane or what? They're trying to kill him. He said, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you, or he's going to confirm you in strength, and he's going to settle you. God wants to use this thing. It's his eternal plan that I'm going to change you, and I'm going to bring salvation to the world through this thing that no one would have ever thought about doing, through adversity. You see, I think if Jesus had come the skies would have just popped open, and he'd have come riding in on a white horse, and he would have slew the Romans, and he would have gave victory after victory to the Israelis. I think they would have said, yeah, he's Messiah. One day, stays, that kind of thing can happen. But not now. God wants us to live, though, in the now. Here's the key. God wants us to live in the now, in the light of forever. This present world that we live in is sinful. It's fallen. But this present world is not all there is. It's all I know anything about, other than reading about what God has for us in the forever. The roots, the ruts in my life are deep from living in the world. The new channels that God has tried to program my heart through adversity are kind of shallow. And when things get really tough, I tend to pop over into that big deep root and gripe to the girl in the cash register. She probably went home and said, this guy was a lunatic. Should I have called up the police or what? You know? Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, these horrible adversities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your anxieties on him. Listen, your heart's breaking. It's crushing this load of adversity. Peter says, but cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. What is that saying? That's saying God Almighty, who spoke everything into existence, knows you, knows the hairs on your head, number of those, and he cares for you. There are very few people in the world that you can draw around yourself and say with some sense of confidence, they really care for me. God cares for you with a greater love than you'll probably ever be able to understand. James says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast in trials. See, this big plan by God comes through adversity. Knowing that suffering, Paul says, produces endurance. You know, I told you many times terrible stories about myself. They were true. I have changed a little bit, but not a whole lot. But soccer in Germany, I went out for the team. I made the team because I lived 2 years in the West in Walfischbach, and I tried to teach those guys how to play baseball. They didn't. So it was just better for me to try to play soccer. Well, there was actually some things that as an American kid, I didn't do too badly with. Now, I wasn't a German. I wasn't raised on soccer or anything like that, but I didn't do too badly because I played with those guys, and they said, here's how to do a pivot kick. Practice, practice, practice. Well, when I got to Berlin, I wanted to do something because these guys had Letterman jackets. Do your schools have Letterman jackets and stuff like that? And they could have a jacket, and they had, in this case, a B for Berlin, and they put these little things on there. Wow, I was enamored by that. And so you had a little football. If you played football, you had a little round thing for basketball, and you had a little round thing that had a little line through it that was for soccer. And they also had a star. And I thought, what's a star? The star meant that you lettered in all sports. All right. I know how to play football. I don't do too badly in soccer. It's basketball. but I wanted the star. So I went out for sports, and we had this old retired Marine who was our coach, and he had this idea that what we needed to do as a team, first and foremost, was exercise. 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 Run, 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 run. You're falling down. You have no breath. Get up and run some more. More push-ups. More set-ups. More of this. Exercise, exercise, exercise. I just wanted to play. And all he wanted to do was exercise, exercise, exercise. But you know that old coach knew something. He knew that physical conditioning for me or anybody else was going to enable me to do better at soccer or football or whatever. Matter of fact, we saw sometimes as we played in football or soccer, I didn't make the basketball team, matter of fact. But anyway, that by the third quarter in football, watch out, we were eating you up because we weren't tired. All that running, 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 all those calisthenics, that was starting to pay off. And so those guys were getting tired. We weren't tired yet. We hadn't hit our border yet. We hadn't done those things. And soccer the same way. It's running, running, running. There's no huddles in soccer. It's running, running, running all the time. And so we were in good shape, and we would keep pressing on, because he had caused us to exercise, exercise, exercise. The same holds true in spiritual things. God is trying to tell us that exercising the new man will enable us to overcome the old man. There's a fight going on there, you know. We need to exercise. We need to stretch our spirit. We need to intake the Word of God. We need to find those places of service that will stretch us in that we might have victory. And what do we want? Victory. How do we get there? Exercise, exercise, exercise. Did I like that? Mm-mm, not at all. But I did enjoy the victories. I was that peacock running around. Yeah. We're from Berlin, mighty, mighty Berlin. Everywhere we go, people want to know. So we tell them. You know, oh gosh. Yes! All that exercise, exercise brought us to the victory. I want to tell you this morning, right now, we don't want to have headaches. We don't want to have anguish. But God has promised us victory through all this stuff and pain. And when it's done, we sing his glories. The wondrous grace of the Lord Jesus, God in Christ overcoming all those things in us. God in Christ overcoming sin. How does he overcome sin? By the way of the cross. Well, isn't that song, Via Della Rosa, the way of what? Suffering. That's what he's chosen. Jesus withstood the horrors and the cruelty of his day. And of course, there were those who began to plot to kill him very early in his ministry. And it seemed like they had won because they put him on that cross and they killed him. But wait a second, the play wasn't over. On the third day, he arose. You know, the traditional greeting of the early church was one that we do pretty good on Easter Sunday around here. We say, he is risen. And then you say, indeed. That's what they said. That's how they kind of knew. They're out there in the street doing stuff like this, and they would see Jim over there. He's selling watermelons or something, and you'd go over there and say, what the price of watermelons, blah, 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 and you'd tell Jim, he is risen. And Jim would say, if he was a Christian, he is risen indeed. Oh, wow, all right, brother, okay. That's what they did. Joyous news. At last, God, in his power and his might, through suffering, brought about the Messiah. Jesus' teachings, you know, there are those who tell us that, okay, Jesus died on the cross, he never arose again, none of that, all that's just phony baloney stuff, but his teachings are really wonderful. It's a funny thing to call somebody's teachings wonderful when he tells you, I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'm Messiah, and all the... He's a liar! But he wasn't a liar. Healings of every sort and stripe. That leper, when Jesus reached over and touched him, it's a wonder he could get up. Over nature, the storm. Peace, be still. The word had become flesh. The cross, the old world showed its power. But in the resurrection, God showed us his victory. The world threw everything at him. Brought him to this terrible place. But it could not hold him. And he arose. Don't we often feel like that? That the world is just too strong. Every now and then, I have seen and understood somebody who's on drugs, and through rehabilitation programs and various different things like that, and their commitment to Christ, they overcome the drugs. I don't know what the odds are. I'd say they were slim, because I see it the other way all the time. Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm quitting that stuff. It's killing me, killing my family, destroying everything I have. And then 2 days later, bingo, they're back into the stuff again. Because what happens is that drug starts talking to their body and saying, give me. I'm going to rock you and put you through such pain as you've never seen, or you can give me that drug. Alcohol the same way. Violence always wins in our world, it seems like. Turning the other cheek. Forgiving your enemies. No, let's kill them. In that sense, we are in the old man. But on Friday, Jesus was crucified. But Sunday's coming. Those women went to the tomb. What were they carrying with them? A little bit of Coca-Cola, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because, you know, Jesus has had this terrible experience and he might be hungry. You know what they had. They had the trappings of death with them. They did not expect to see a stone roll back. They did not expect to see angels declaring unto them, he is not here, he is risen. They did not expect that. And when they ran back to those people we call apostles, and they said, you wouldn't believe it. Angels told us that he's no longer in the grave. And he's risen from the dead. What did they say? Oh, wow, fine, excellent. Let's make a hymn about that. They said, oh, these women. They always get all carried away about nothing. They probably went to the wrong place. They probably went to somebody's grave that nobody was even buried in there. Who knows what's happening there? And they actually kept that up pretty much so until Jesus appeared before himself. Hope burst forth in glory that first Sunday morning. What is today? It's Sunday, isn't it? Or isn't it? No. it's not Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. That's why we're here. If that didn't happen, we should have met yesterday. If we were going to be at all faithful to the old covenant. But we have a new covenant. He's not in the grave any longer. He is risen. He is risen as he said. He is risen. I've seen him myself. The now got illuminated by the forever. And these guys and gals could not be silenced. Keep pressing on. And that's what they did. Never, never give up. He is risen. Clear your mind. Stop being angry. Run to Jesus. When adversity attacks, and it will, its attack is no less than, have you watched some of these nature shows where they show this little beautiful little gazelle? It's, you know, in the field somewhere. And then, of course, the mother gazelle has a little baby gazelle. And he's just, or she, whatever, just wobbly, wobbly. And you're thinking, what a cute little fella. And all of a sudden, out of the brush comes this lion. Ha! Blood spurting everywhere. The mother's running around frantic. She doesn't know what to do. The lion just killed that little gazelle. Now, the lion has to eat too, my brother would say. How about those wildebeest things? What's wrong with those people? You know, okay, you got to make this trek across country and all this kind of stuff. When you get to the river where the crocodiles are, send out a few scouts. You know, send a couple this way, nice tender ones, a couple that way, so that we can get through the middle before we get chomped on. Listen, the world is like a lion. The devil is like a lion, the scripture. It is horrible, the terribleness of what sin can do. In the now, we always think about this, and it's true partially. There are lessons that we can learn that will help us out in the future, and that's true. But listen, I think sometimes we go through something and we don't know why. And God doesn't come saying, hey, remember such and so? Remember that, how that worked out? Uh-uh. Once again, let me remind you, God's desire, his heart, his grace, his love, his forgiveness is based in the truth that the now is not the forever. The now is now, but there is forever. And God works from the forever part. We're in the now part. Over, you know, I like Revelation 21. Listen to this, what the scripture says, 21 verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's pretty cool. But this is the part I like. It's not that I don't like that part, but I love this part. It says, get this. And God himself will wipe away every tear. He cares for you. He's not putting us through some horrible, horrible something because he's some kind of sadist. He has chosen to use adversity. And he walked that path himself and took that adversity. Of course, John says there's not going to be any more death. I'm kind of thinking that's cool. No more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall be any more pain. For the former things, the old things, are passed away. Thank you, Lord. Victory is ours in Christ. When adversity attacks, we're told in the scripture to seek the Lord. I know you can go to the library and you can find tons of books on how to deal with adversity. Tons of them. There was one that I was reading when Grayson was in the library. It was called The Resilient Breakthrough. The Resilient Breakthrough. Wow, okay. It was by a guy, Christian Moore. He might have had a Christian for a first name, but he wasn't a Christian. But chapter one was titled this, How Do You Deal With Adversity? Hey, yeah, that sounds important. Chapter two, How Can I Be Confident in the Face of Adversity? That sounds good. Chapter three, Feeling Sorry for Yourself is Not Going to Help. Well, I think that's probably true. Chapter four, How to Change Your Mind About Life. And I think it had 15 chapters. Put it back on the shelf. He don't know nothing about adversity. He only knows something about the now stuff. He doesn't know about the forever stuff. He can't help you. He's stuck there too. Because unless that book gets down to it somewhere along chapter 26 and says, and now comes Jesus. He is risen from the dead as he said, and we are praising God because God holds everything in the palm of his hand, and he has chosen this horrible way of suffering to overcome the world. Over in John chapter 11, verse 35. What verse is that? Anybody know? I know it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And that's what we know that verse by, don't we? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. So we understand it from that. But listen, that verse tells us about Jesus weeping. Matthew chapter 8 tells us that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I know people who are not going to go home today to an air-conditioned house and open the refrigerator up and get whatever. Drink some pop or whatever. They don't have that. Jesus didn't have that. He knows about that stuff. Jesus understands disappointment. Remember when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have longed to draw you unto myself like a mother hen draws her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Mark says that he was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief, the way of suffering. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Peter, listen to this guy. You know, somebody should take his hand. Say, there's a little warm place for you, and it's cool in the summertime, and got a comfortable little couch you can sit on. Because here's what he says. He says, he begins by saying, for our light affliction. What world is he living in? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a little while, worketh for us a more exceedingly, an eternal weight of glory. He knew something about adversity, friends. Five times he was beaten, he says, with 40 stripes minus one. That's 39 times, isn't it? I don't think I want five hits, let alone five times 39. Three times beaten with rods. What was he beaten for? Because he robbed the bank? Was he riding in the street? No, he was proclaiming the gospel. Yet he experienced those things. Three times he was shipwrecked. And so Paul could say that these things are our light affliction. The guy's nuts. Unless he says the now must be understood in the light of the forever. A woman who has a baby, I've been told, because I haven't had any babies, that it's a painful thing. My wife has explained to me a couple of times. She wanted me to know some certain things. Because I was just out in the waiting room. Boy, I'm bored. She's in there. She's in pain. And then they gave her a saddle block or something one time, just about blew her head off. The pain would have been better than that. It's painful. I don't understand. What's wrong with you people? Okay, one time. Let's forget it. That's it. But most women say, no, no, no. Her mother wanted six. She's a lunatic. But what the deal is while they're birthing that child, they're in great, great pain, aren't they? But then when that nurse comes in and puts that little baby in their arms, they take that little baby and they look at that little thing. The poor little thing has been beaten 50 ways from Sunday. And they say, how beautiful is this child? What changed? The baby. The baby. The now has been swallowed up in the promise. The now will be swallowed up in the forever. It is it is just a little while. We kind of know that kind of stuff. I'm getting to the age now that certain people lovingly point out, you're getting to be an old man, you know that? You have a hard time getting up and down anymore. You fool everybody because you act like, you know. But I see you. You know, you go out to the backyard. I remember her mother was out in the backyard one time, and I came home, and she was crawling around her knees. I said, Sarah, what's going on here? And so she said, well, give me your hand. And so I gave her my hand. I lifted her up a little bit. She went over. She said, I couldn't get up. I thought, what? Okay, you bend down. You do whatever, and you get up. Whoa, wait a second. Sometimes these old knees don't want to get up, do they? Oh, you'll find out about it if you don't already know it. That's the way it is. But this old body is going to be replaced one day with knees that work perfectly. The now is going to be swallowed up in the forever. And God, who cannot lie, has promised each and every one of us that. It's not just simply getting by or getting through. It's going to be victory. It's going to be victory. Mm-hmm.